It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. On Monday, Governor Evers signed a new law to increase state funding to manage the federal food assistance program in the state, known as Food Share or SNAP. The law creates new positions at the state's Department of Health Services aimed at implementing new work and reporting requirements that were established in the Federal Reconciliation Bill, or H.R. 1, last year. The goal is to avoid hundreds of millions in penalty fees under the law for states that don't comply with new requirements. Wisconsin lawmakers also opted to include in the law a ban on using food share benefits to buy candy, soda, and energy drinks. Brooklyn Gray is food share manager for Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin, the largest hunger relief organization in the state. Brooklyn, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, this funding is on the administrative level. On that side of things, is this something that food share recipients are really going to see, or is this going to be kind of invisible to people who actually rely on this support?
Yeah, the hope is actually that this is invisible. This is a maintenance of the program, making sure everything continues to run well, make sure folks get their benefits on time, and everything keeps going the way it should.
And the concerns here are, hey, the states are picking up more of the tab for administration on this now under the new law and these new work requirements. Well, it's more bureaucracy. Do you see the money that the state's putting into this as it's implemented? Is that going to be enough to keep up with those changing needs and costs?
That's our hope. So a lot of the fear around losing that administrative cost was actually increasing the burden on people, their wait times and getting access to their benefits, making it even longer and harder for people to submit those documents and see their food share actually coming onto their card on time. So our hope is like this funding is coming through. DHS has these new roles in place to make sure people understand these changes, that people are still getting access to their food and still able to buy groceries in a timely and just honest manner. I do think there's a lot of fear around these changes just because the work requirement changes really did just come as a surprise for some of our seniors and some of our veterans who are getting those, going to see those impacts in the coming months. But with these changes coming down the way, our hope is that honestly, people don't see those changes and the program just runs like it should.
And last time I talked to you about this, your message was, I think it's fair to say, yes, there are some changes, but don't panic. This doesn't mean everybody out there is receiving food aid is going to lose it. Is that still your message to people you work with?
100%. Yes. We are working with anybody, everybody. If you qualify for this program, you deserve these benefits. And that is not going away. Wisconsin wants people to eat well, feed their families, support our grocers and our farmers. That is what the hope was behind this funding. That is the like everybody coming together in one room and saying, no, this is an important program and we want to make sure that people still have these benefits. And that's what we do at Eastern Wisconsin is we want to make sure people understand the changes, that they have the right to use these benefits, to apply for these benefits, and this program isn't going anywhere.
Now, the work requirement category change here, people might be wondering, hey, I receive food share. I'm a little confused by these changes. I don't know when they kick in or if they apply to me. How are they going to know? Are they going to get notification of some sort? What is the process for finding out if these changes apply to particular people?
Oh, absolutely. So anybody who might be impacted by these changes, so some age limit change, some exemption status has changed, all of those people who could be flagged for a possible change in the work requirement will be sent a notice in the mail when they're up for their next renewal. And every person who goes through an application for food share or a renewal for food share will be screened for all exemptions. They'll go through all the rules and regulations, just like normal. And then they will be notified, like if that change is going to impact them, they'll be given the options for support with the food share employment and training program. They'll be given time to start meeting those requirements. And a lot of times if my team or other advocates are working with people, we'll work with folks to make sure that they know their options for meeting these new rules and understanding their rights for food share.
And before we let you go, I want to get your take on the candy, soda, and energy drink restriction. And technically, this is Wisconsin applying for a waiver to the federal government. The federal government, as it exists now, is very sympathetic, I think, to this change. What's your thought on this? How will this affect people?
I mean, the first thing that we're just keeping our eyes on is just making sure that the confusion stays down, that this new rule around what you can and cannot spend food share benefits on is just understood. Right now, there's already, you can't buy certain like hot food products with food share. You can't buy non-food products with food share. This is just one of those things where you're at the grocery store. We really don't want people to get sticker shocked with their grocery bill because they expected something to be covered when it isn't. And so at the end of the day, we're just trying to make sure folks still have the power to buy their groceries, to get access to healthy food, that they have those options available to them. But we just want to make sure that there's not a surprise at the register. Folks aren't feeling that impact as those changes roll out for people. But it's months to come. So we're very curious. We're keeping our eye on that implementation as well, just so we can stand on the side of folks buying their groceries with food share.
Brooklyn, thanks again for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you.
That's Brooklyn Gray, food share manager for Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin, the largest hunger relief organization in the state. Now we'll look at how Wisconsin's new law compares to other states around the country. Gina Plata-Nino is the SNAP director for the Food Research and Action Center, a nonprofit dedicated to eradicating hunger in the U.S. Gina, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
Now, your organization had concerns about the federal, it was called the One Big Beautiful Bill, would impact states when it came to food share. How do you see the new Wisconsin law, the new administrative funding, tackling some of those concerns?
It's a good step forward. You know, unfortunately, it's a first step because a lot of these provisions that we see, not just in Wisconsin, but across the country, is that we have state agencies who historically have been underfunded. And with the new provisions, all of these new provisions mean more staff capacity, more staff need. So it just puts them at a point where they have to pay an additional 25%. But it's a good step forward.
What are you seeing in other states? Is there any model you'd point to around the country that you're saying, yeah, they're really doing the best possible reaction to this law change?
All of the states are struggling. You know, it's not just in terms of a food share, but it's also healthcare. It's also other programs that got impacted by HR1. And states right now are doing their legislative session and trying to look at different avenues. We know that some states are looking at progressive tax policy, putting ballot measures to ensure that the administrative cost is there, and also planning for the benefit cost share, which, you know, almost 44 states, and depending on how things move forward, possibly other states will be joining the number that will also have to pay a portion of the benefit cost. So it's too early to tell, but I would say that California originally, when HR1 came out, did invest significantly in the state agency, and they're continuing to have conversations around that. I've yet to see other states really finalize any budget decisions. They're still in conversations.
One key to how this is being put into practice has to do with error rates, which, as I understand it, means error is, hey, you paid this person too much or you paid this person too little. Both of those count as errors. If states go above 6% error rate, they pay some kind of penalty. Wisconsin historically has been under that. What are you looking at with this error rate penalty with this big change coming through?
It's actually more complicated than that, mm-hmm. because the person could have received the exact right amount, but say that when they're reviewing it at the federal level, they notice that the landlord form is missing a phone number. Even if the information is completely correct, even if everything's correct and the benefit amount doesn't change, that counts as a technical error, and that counts as a payment error, right? But there's no error. The benefits were correct. So it's a little bit more complex than that. So what we are seeing is that we had a government shutdown. USDA, the federal entity responsible for receiving this program, gave inconsistent guidance, and the state acted along with other states following their boss's order, for lack of a better word. So anytime they change policy, anytime inconsistent guidance is there, especially now that USDA has reorganized its structure and there are less people helping state agencies to assist, We do foresee, as we've seen in the past, that states like Wisconsin or other states who are right below the 6% line may actually cross over the threshold because of the lack of support that FNS, USDA, is giving.
It sounds like you're saying that states are being set up to fail here. What would you want to see? Would you like to see federal changes to make that error rate less risky and not punish those, you know, bookkeeping errors as opposed to genuine payment errors?
Well, states were already getting penalized They have to go, they have to fix that. They have to invest. They have to pay fees. And they're asking to do all of this at the same time, like Wisconsin had to come up with the additional 25% that they're going to need beginning in October to pay administrative costs. So they are being set up to fail because they're saying, we need you to make these changes, but we're giving you less administrative funding. And we're giving you a very short period of time to implement incredibly drastic changes that requires staff learning, computer systems, individuals not being confused. So yes, states are not giving the necessary support for them to be able to do this accurately and doing it in a way that is efficient.
Then turning to the so-called junk food waiver, Wisconsin joining some other states to say, hey, we're going to restrict certain sugary food and beverage items. How big an administrative hurdle is this? How much trouble could this create at, say, a local grocery store?
We are incredibly concerned. USDA has never approved this. Even during the first Trump administration, they said no. Various congressional leaders and farm bills have said this is a terrible idea because it costs money at the federal level. It costs money at the state level. Wisconsin is allotting $3 million, I believe, to be able to run this. There's currently a lawsuit against these restrictions. We do know that retailers did an analysis, and it's going to cost millions and billions of dollars, particularly for smaller retailers who don't have the sophisticated technology. It may mean that they have to pull out of the program or say that they can no longer participate.
Briefly, as we wrap up, what are you watching for next as states like Wisconsin put these new policies into place?
We're looking at case closures and decreasing because all of these implementation means that less access. So we're highly concerned on what this means for Wisconsin and for other states. Our states are making difficult choices. And at the end, it means that less people will have access to the food they need.
Gina, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Gina Plata-Nino, SNAP Director for the Food Research and Action Center. Earlier, we heard from Brooklyn Gray, Food Share Manager for Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin, the largest hunger relief organization in the state. Been looking at state law changes to implement changes at the federal level when it comes to food share. Every state affected by those changes. Does this affect you? Do you receive food share? Are you concerned about what is changing? Do you have questions? Are you confused? Or do you provide food aid in a local agency around the state? What are you seeing among the people you work with? Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org.